There I was, 30 years old, on the sidewalk, crying, scared, ashamed, embarrassed, and utterly disappointed in myself as I was about to walk into my first day of rehab. I feel like a lot of people have a pivotal moment story, a story that they can look back on and know that, in that moment, that was it. There was a moment that time stood still and you remembered exactly what drink, what trauma, what breakup, or what party introduced you to your addiction. I don't have a story like that to share. I only have the memories that I have, even the very blurry ones. I don't know if it's better or worse to not remember. Is it worse that you've killed so many memory brain cells in your heyday that even if you did remember a pivotal moment, it might have been just that other time that you got hammered? Or is it better that you don't remember who was there, what happened, why you're drinking so young so you don't have anyone to blame, or associate events with a moment that you sometimes wish never happened? Fortunately, my memories on some of the best times of my life are crystal clear, and unfortunately, the memories of my lowest parts of my life are also crystal clear. Drinking was always a big part of my adult life, but I do remember when alcohol just was something to be expected. I remember coming back from out of town and visiting my friends who had been fully involved in the beer pong, house party, red cup kind of life for some time now. I remember them attending raves, already talking about where to buy beer so early. I think at that time I was busy making my way up in the dance scene and living at the dance studio. It wasn't until I broke up with my first boyfriend and turned 18 that I really found myself engulfed. I experienced a lot of my first in a dance bubble. I like to describe it as a snow globe kind of growing up, where the pivotal moments that make you an adult are so clearly showcased in a snow globe for all to shake, look at, and of course, judge. My first heartbreak was the big thing that started it all for me. From there, it was my first huge win at the US Open, my first huge fail at the US Open, my first public fight, the first time people told me what they thought of my dancing, my body, my career. I didn't know how to handle the criticism and the difficult time I was going through, so I found my escape, alcohol and boys. And here they are, the distant memories of messiness peppered into the biggest highs of my life. For someone who was so young and loved, to someone who was obviously not dealing well with certain parts that came along with this great public life. Falling from a hill, slamming my back straight into a parked car. Ordering drinks at a hotel for people who obviously knew I was underage but accepted the free booze. Downing a bottle of Bailey's under a table. Not remembering one-night stands in the Carolinas. And even being put in a police car for getting drunk on the beach. I remember being so drunk that I woke up to my peers drawing penises and horrible words on me. Yes, it is very disgusting. And me laughing it off like it was nothing. And even walking in foreign countries, not remembering how I got back to my hotel. I have a lot more vivid memories of those drunk nights that are locked and loaded in my memory when I want to feel bad about myself and be hard on my past decisions. Those memories that eventually would come up again in rehab. And I'd have to take the shame out of them all just to remember that they were part of my past, my very blurry, intoxicated past. Where were all of my friends, you ask? I was doing all of this in a dance community with thousands of people around me all of the time. They were there. My mentors, my dance family, my peers were all there. Some who really did care a lot and gave me a very good talking to and held my hair back after drinking too much. And some not so caring people happily just took all the drinks that I bought them with no hesitations. I don't think it's fair, though, to say that anyone in the dance community should have taken care of me. I was 18. I had the money to buy booze and the personality to convince people I was of age. This was their world that I had come into. So why was it their responsibility to look out for me? It wasn't. None of that was their fault. And honestly, I probably would have had more to drink if anyone would have told me otherwise. But there was one person who said everything and nothing. The person who saw what others didn't and who I think in his own way was helplessly watching it all unravel. The one who witnessed this all firsthand was a person whose feelings I was trying to numb myself from. My dance partner, my traveling companion, the person I shared my passion with every weekend, the one I practiced with every day, and the person I was still trying to impress with every action. It's fair to say that being with or working with someone who has an addiction or a lot of trauma can be hard, but imagine being with that person every day and trying to maneuver their life, their struggle, and somehow your own emotions of it all. No one would handle themselves perfect when they're thrown adult problems in there like that, let alone having to handle all of it so publicly. I don't think any 20-year-old who would handle it the way he did. At times not perfect and unaware, but I think with always the right intentions. You see, he had to witness two completely different versions of me. One version was the version who still had that 15-year-old girl that he met. The one who was only funny when she didn't try. The one who loved Al Green and the one who took her earrings off right after every date. The girl who was incredibly smart when she wanted to be, bubbly and up for anything, and actually a bit more of an introvert when others weren't around. She was sweet, and I'm assuming a great memory to have as your first love. The other version was erratic, drunk, emotional, and worst of all, manipulative. You see, he had to witness this Jekyll and Hyde situation on a daily basis. And when you don't know which version of a person you're getting, you start to become numb to it all. I always blamed him for never letting me be myself and thought that he had this dislike for me and for who I was. But I think in actuality, he was always just trying to get me back to that person he knew I truly was. I think he was the first person to notice there was a problem. And we've never spoken about this, and I don't think we ever will, but subconsciously, and maybe even consciously, I think he was the first person who tried to save me. I have a big belief that drugs and alcohol don't have a type. I was 17 years old and was raised by a single mother who loved me more than I can explain. There was not one day that I ever questioned her love for me. I never yearned for anything. She gave me everything. She gave me dance. She gave me a great education, and she gave me a wonderful life in America. Alcohol found me there. I was 21 years old. Thousands of people told me how talented I was, how much they loved me every day. I was traveling around the world, making more money than the average American, and 100% living the life most people wanted. Alcohol found me there too. I was 30 years old, living in one of the safest countries in the world, have a gorgeous 6-year-old son who was sweet and polite and my eyes perfect, a loving husband who has supported me emotionally and financially for almost 10 years of being together. I live in one of the most affluent neighborhoods in Melbourne. I have a job that I love, and alcohol found me there too. I think there's a lot of people out there who struggle with the relationship with alcohol because if they see that they're an alcoholic, then they are scared of labeling themselves, or even worse, someone else labeling them that. The stigma around drinking or being called an alcoholic is massive. We sometimes look at drug addicts and think, oh wow, they must have had it really hard, or a huge life event who would have led them to these hard drugs. But with alcoholics, it's more like, wow, they are so messy. Oh, surely they need to just put the bottle down. What a lush. Alcohol is so ingrained in our day-to-day lives that we can't imagine how something that we use on a daily basis can be that harmful. We use alcohol so much in this society that we struggle to have empathy for people that can't handle it. It's used as such a default for us to celebrate, to cope with heartache, to share with a friend. The way we are taught to bond with other people in college is to drink. The way to deal with awkward work parties when you don't know anyone is to head straight to the bar. The first thought when a friend breaks up with her boyfriend is, well, actually the second is bringing a bottle of wine and chocolates. The first is saying, you don't need him. Valentine's Day is romantic with wine. Brunch is more fun with mimosas. And beer is just what we need whenever we utter anything that has to do with cooking outside. So again, how can something so normal be that toxic to your life? This is where I think it's super important to talk about my breaking point. There I was at 30, and I fell into a big hole. Actually, a massive, dark Bermuda Triangle kind of a hole. I found that I enjoyed social drinking way too much, and then I enjoyed day drinking too much, And then I started to use alcohol as an escape for everything that I was trying to run away from and scared to face. See, but all of these things are what I realize now, that it was toxic, that I was trying to escape from reality. But at the time, it just felt like I was doing normal things to just be happier. For me, alcohol was something that always helped. And because the people around me were doing it to de-stress, I thought that I was completely justified to continue my habits. My husband tried to help me, understand me, and deal with his wife turning into completely different versions of herself. He was the second consistent male in my life who tried to help, but was met with walls. This all felt very familiar to me, and so of course, I ran away from it. I always struggled with men telling me what to do, at any age, even when they were right. Thank my daddy issues for that one. I would just stare at him, or even sometimes agree, but play the song, "You Don't Know Me," from the First Wives Clubs in my head, and convince myself that as a grown adult and someone who has been through a lot in my life, I had the absolute right to do whatever I wanted to do with my body, regardless of what the people who love me think. I could feel his worry every single time I came through the door as to who he was going to get. You see, give me a few drinks and I'm the life of the party, the one that everyone loves having around and provides that sassy Latina flavor to all of the conversations to ensure laughter. Give me just a little too much, a car ride home, and a few hours to let the liquor set in, and I'm a whole different person. Someone who would let out all of the dark insecurities that I had held inside and do everything possible to make you feel as little as I felt. During this time, there were a few instances where I knew something was really wrong. I needed to have a drink when I went out. I needed to have a drink during the day. I needed to have a drink when hanging out with friends, and I would get upset when the people around me weren't drinking. I started to be a martyr as an excuse to continue this toxic way of living. Ugh, parenting is so hard. Marriage is so hard. Life is so hard. I miss my old life. All of these were a constant excuse as to have a negative emotion. And then because I had a negative emotion, I needed a drink. One rainy Wednesday night, I went over the edge and there was no coming back from it. It was either make a change now or be this way forever. For the first time, I looked at myself and I realized that I had turned into this hyped up version of myself that I carried with me most of my life. I remember the absolute guilt I felt every day, crying every 5 minutes and feeling like an absolute failure for doing the one thing I never said I would do. And that is be a disappointment to my kid. My son had watched me be this person that I hated. I was scared that trauma will stick with him for the rest of his life, like mine did. In my mind, I was no longer the good parent. I was the parent I feared. I was the messy one. The one who didn't have their shit together, even though I had the job, had the friends, had the loft in South Yara. I was the person that when my husband and I were separated, I knew people thought the shitty one. There it was. Guilt and shame all over again. When guilt, shame, loneliness, and alcohol are mixed together, it makes for a life-changing, toxic, life-threatening cocktail. I couldn't risk it. I needed help. I was sad about a lot of things. My husband and I had been separated for almost a year, and no one really knew. I was sad. I was lost. There were issues, so many issues that I still don't think I can really talk about, but at the time, they overpowered me and made me feel helpless. I resorted to partying and drinking so much because in my eyes was the only thing I could control. All of this I realize now, but when you're in it, all you see is black. All you see is desperation for making everyone think that you are fine and happy. I was trying to prove to everyone back home that my decision to move to Australia was right by posting pictures of me with all my new friends, all of my students, and all of the great I'm doing here. I don't know why I needed to get validation from everyone else. I guess that's all I ever knew. And regardless of the actual great life I made for myself here, I guess I thought the version in my head that I wanted to portray was somewhat better. My husband knew of someone who ran a place called the Center for Healing. It was an outpatient rehab center that dealt with not just addiction. It tried to unlock the root causes of why we have these addictions. It's a great mix of therapy, kinesiology, and some amazing tools they use to really change people's lives. All of these things were on the website when I read them. I didn't believe them at the time, but hey, what were my other options? I was ready, I think, to have my life change. But to be honest, going into my first session, I was still doing it 50% because I wanted to and 50% because I thought my husband needed me to. I never did therapy in my adult life. I studied my share of mindfulness and dabbled with learning about therapy, but never really thinking I could use much from it. No books, journals, or any studies could have gotten me ready for D, my therapist. I showed up wearing a white sweater from Kmart, my husband's hat, and no makeup. This all is completely out of nature for me. But by the time I got a session with her, I had been sober for 1 week, and all I cared about was needing the help right away because I was only 3 days or so away from ordering just another wine. I don't know what it was. Was it her ability to have empathy because she was a mom as well? Was it her ability to be relatable because she too used to have addiction issues? Was it that she came with no judgmental bone in her body? I don't know what it was that made me trust her and in turn trust myself. But this stranger was soon about to change my life and introduce me to the person that I am today. And for that, I am so thankful that I'm finding that person again. Learning how to sit with my depression, anxiety, and my decisions was very difficult. Learning how to deal with emotions around dancing, the community I grew up with in California, my husband, my Australian friends, and my family without alcohol was by far the hardest thing I have ever had to do. I sat there with my pain, all my regrets, my choices, my confusion, and my feelings every day for 2 months. I talked about them at times when I didn't want to. I journaled about them at times where I didn't want to think about them. I learned to talk about things that were hurtful and things that were so attached to guilt and embarrassment without regrets, and instead with understanding and empathy towards myself. D helped me save my life, and I will always be grateful for every single second. She reminded me to love myself and truly discover who I was again. It's one thing dealing with your addiction, though, and your emotions in a safe environment where you have sessions every week that hold you accountable for your actions. But what happens when you're thrown back into the real world? So I guess the question is, what now? When you stop drinking, there are a few things to be aware of. One of those things is the constant questions you will get about why on earth you did not have a drink in your hand at the party, the work function, or the celebration. Why don't you drink? How do you celebrate? Do you go out? Are you okay? What happened? What really happened? Really? Only water? Why are you at a bar if you don't drink? I still struggle sometimes with answering these questions correctly. I found myself just saying, I don't drink, and sometimes finding some very witty, fired up comeback that stops the questions. Most of the time, I just hone into a feeling of honesty with myself and the reality that I don't need to explain myself to anyone. And if they ask, I just say, I don't drink, and change the conversation. Those that keep pushing for answers are usually the kind of people you don't want to talk to about your deep-rooted trauma with anyways. I still struggle sometimes with answering those questions correctly, but hey, I'm still learning how to live this new life balance. Because to me, it's the first time I'm experiencing so many new things. Everything is absolutely new. You become like a newborn baby when you stop drinking. You experience so many things for the first time. Have you gone to a wedding sober? Have you attended a bachelorette party sober? Have you had a sober birthday? Have you had sober sex? Have you done sober dating? Have you ever had sober work drinks? Have you gone to a sober brunch? Have you done New Year's Eve sober? Alcohol was so frequent in my life that I was not able to say yes to most of the questions that I just asked. This year was actually the first year in over 12 years that I was sober on my birthday. I let myself take it in. I took a picture of my very delicious birthday juice, and I allowed myself to fully take in the thought of my new life. For the first few months of being sober, I wrote down everything I did and everything I overcame without a drink in my hand. It's important, I think, to continue to recognize the milestones you reach. An everyday reassurance can be your version of an AA pin. It could be the thing that keeps you going. It reminds you that making better choices for your life is a day-to-day struggle. And just like when you get a new promotion at work, get first place in a contest, or finish your Christmas shopping on time, it should be talked about, written down, and noted in your mind. Your practice of just trying to be a better person or getting through a day with some joy rather than the self-doubt is important for all of us to celebrate. I heard someone once say, they say that the opposite of addiction is connection. And I find that to be 100% accurate. I've given up all hope of having a better past, so I try my best every day to have a more fulfilling future. And for me, that's having a better relationship with alcohol. A big part of my recovery is the relationships I've made during this process. Not only has my relationship with myself, my husband, and my son been more than I could ever have wished for, but my relationship with my decisions is the most powerful one. My 6-year-old recently said to me, "My rules are my decisions, and my decisions are my rules." I know, pretty deep for a 6-year-old, right? He won't fully understand what that one statement means yet, but it was so clear to me that it's such a great way to live your life. Make rules for what you will accept in life. Make rules and boundaries for the places you want to go to. Most importantly, make rules and non-negotiables with yourself about the kind of people you want in your life. From there, make choices and decisions that reflect those. Yeah, he's a genius. He quickly changed the subject and told me that he wishes to have a pet unicorn for his birthday, but still, pretty genius advice. Surely every person you connect with in life won't always be a positive one, though. Sometimes they're inspiring, sometimes they drain you, and sometimes there's no connection at all. The people I personally choose to have in my life are as good as they get. The pickiness in not allowing anyone in my circle these days has made me so happy with who I have surrounded myself with. It has shown me that real friendships don't need to come in numbers or with a shared desire for a cocktail. Instead, you need people in your life that get you, want the best for you, and understand that you are you and they are them. People who will grow, cry, and laugh with you and understand your differences, even if that difference is alcohol. My friends are not sober. They drink, they party, they have nights in, they have nights out. They sometimes go to therapy like me. They go to the markets, they go to wineries. Some of them run festivals and others are wine connoisseurs. Some make an amazing gin and tonic and some cannot go a day without drinking Coca-Cola. Some of my friends are single, some are attached, and some just kept catch me up on the last drag race. My favorite. Some of them are vegetarians and some love a good lamp shank. You see, sometimes we all have things in common. And on some days, we have no things in common. The most important thing we have in common, though, is that we have a shared desire for a fulfilled life, even when that life is hard to maneuver. Let me say that again. The most important thing we have in common, though, is that we have a shared desire for a fulfilled life, even when that life is hard to maneuver. My relationship with alcohol is something I focus on every day. Who knows if I will turn into a person who can have a glass of wine on a night out, or if I'm going to be completely sober forever. There's no pressure to be perfect or sober for the rest of my life, but today, at this moment, I think I'll just stay on the path that I am on now. I gained a lot more than what I gave up when I became sober. I gave up something that I never really needed, and I found hope in knowing that you can live a full life without being numb to it. A vibrant, scary, emotional, joyous, sometimes painful, but always full life. And I say, cheers to that.